Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Our guest today is Becky Berta from Jules J. Berta Winery and Vineyards in Albertville, and I cannot wait to talk to you about your delicious North Alabama-made wines. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Well, thank you for having me, Malia.
Yeah, oh, this is so exciting. You know, I've been a fan of Jules J. wines for a long time, so.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Well, before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in North Alabama. I grew up surrounded by pastures. My grandfather had livestock, vegetable gardens. So when I met my husband, it made converting to a vineyard so much easier. You know, Jules aspired to have a winery and I always wanted a restaurant. So, you know, we've kind of melded together to give us this Jules Berta Winery and Pizza as of right now. So that's what I've become, is a pizzeria and a winemaker.
It was a match made in heaven then, huh?
I think so.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, let's jump right in since you mentioned the winery and the pizza making. So let's first find out, though, about your family's history with winemaking and how this vineyard got created.
Well, so the vineyard actually started with my father-in-law. When he was an immigrant from Hungary, he ended up, I guess, migrating down to North Alabama. Mm-hmm. The temperatures and all, the land reminded him of home. So he thought, well, this may be conducive to growing true wine grapes. Hmm. He planted a hobby lot. My husband got excited about it. They talked about opening a winery. And it was probably a few years later I met Jules, and then we just kind of moved forward. We unfortunately lost his father through all of that. But, you know, we rose above all that and opened in 2007.
Okay. And the rest is history.
The rest is what it is now. We have changed. What we are now is not what we actually wanted to be. Not, I shouldn't say wanted to be. You kind of develop as you grow and as you form your own business. So We've kind of went from winery into just being a small retail shop. We ended up, to accommodate people, we're wanting to stay on premise and hang out with us longer. Mm-hmm. We brought in pizza. We brought in our wine slushies. And now they're just coming from all over to stay in. Almost camp out with us.
Yeah, that's so cool. You're like a destination now. Instead of just a winery, you're so much more.
Yeah. It seems like that's what we've turned into. Yeah. That was not all planned. It was just, you know, kind of bending and maneuvering around what people wanted. And this is where we are at the moment. We still have a lot of bending and maneuvering to do, but we are in position right now to accommodate at least what we have built up to this point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for the listeners out there who may not be familiar with the different types of wine and how all this works, can you kind of give us a crash course on winemaking?
Okay. So I'll give you a crash course on like what we offer. And then I'll spill into a little bit of it. Now, we grow the true wine grape, which is like your Merlot, your Syrah, your Sauvignon Blancs. So we tend to the vineyard. I mean, mm-hmm. that's almost a yearly, year-round thing. So we'll get to the harvest. So at harvest, we take those grapes in, we crush, we press, and then we age the wines. Mm-hmm. So once they are aged, then we can bottle and get them on the shelf. Now, we also partner up with some local farms. We take in fruits from these farms, like strawberries. We do blackberries. Mm-hmm. So we have about 7 to 8 different fruit wines that we offer. Those are sweet. Mm-hmm. And then we also partner with South Alabama to bring in some muscadines. And we have a line of muscadine wine as well. So we offer 3 different top wines, and we do play around with some ports. So we have some small batch ports that we do, and ports just have a little bit higher alcohol content. Those are They're a little bit extra care when you take on the ports. You have mm-hmm. to take extra care with all the wines that you make, but especially those. And so I guess we have four different types of wines, but we think we have a little bit of what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, when we go to travel shows, and especially outside of Alabama, people are always impressed that, you know, our vineyards and wineries are growing, you know, Merlot grapes and Sauvignon Blanc grapes. You know, they think it's all Muscadine wines and, you know, the Muscadine grapes. And we're like, I mean, it is, but it's also, you know, a lot more than that. So they're always impressed when we tell them, you know, that it's the real deal.
we do. We all have the real deal. And, but you know, when in Rome, Muscadines grow great in the South. It's mm-hmm. a great coastal grape. We embrace it. You know, a lot of people look down on it. It's a beautiful fruit. It's got great health benefits to it. Mm-hmm. So long as you don't sweeten it up, right? But hey. Yeah. but you know, we do. We're very diverse. We knew when we opened we were going to have to be diverse in our offerings, and we've built up on that. And just move forward with all of that. It's fun to do the fruit wines, and they are tougher to do than your traditional dry wines like your Syrah and Chardonnays and things like that. Yeah. You really, you almost have to get into a little chemistry when you're getting into the fruit wines and trying to blend those up and make them taste like the actual fruit that you want it, like strawberry. You want it to taste mm-hmm. like strawberry. So, you know, you have to really know what you're doing to make that happen.
Yeah, get that just right balance there.
Yes, balance.
Yeah. Well, my favorite wine, I think you probably remember, it's your peach wine. Oh, my goodness. Every time I come, I stock up. And then my former coworker, Randy, who's now moved on, whenever he would visit, he would always bring me back a bottle of wine, of the peach wine. And it just made my day. I've got some in my refrigerator right now, actually, that I'm working on.
Yeah, peach is one of our sweet wines, and that one's real. We blend that with some of our wine grapes, and it's really good. I like, if I'm going to do a sweet wine, I want it to be on ice. So that one's good to put on ice or slush. Are we slush that one up too?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about your slushies, because I know those are wildly popular.
they are. I mean, everybody is doing them now. I'm telling you, we started something here. We know we didn't invent it, but we everybody has the slushy bug now. So, so what we do, we take our wines and we can blend them, or we just put them in our slushy machine, and, you know, the machine slush them up, and people just love them. They come in. And what we did when we started, we had two offerings. Now we have four offerings of anything from like peach, the white muscadine, red sangria. Sometimes we've done cotton candy. So those are ways too that you just play off of flavors and you can make that work. And like right now we've moved, instead of just coming and getting one flavor, you can come and get a slushy flight where you're trying four different slushies. So that's been a big hit.
Yeah.
We've had to do that. You know, we've gotten so busy in our tasting room, it just gets flooded. So we've had to almost take our tasting outside. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and COVID put us into a situation like that as well. But, you know, we've moved on from COVID. And so people just come in to the bar, they order a wine flight, then they go out to the table, then they can sit there and they can read up on those wines and decide without somebody staring at them which one they like the best, you know, or they don't like. But, you know, we hope you find something you like. So that's kind of like where the slushies have gone. But we do our wines like that too. So you can come in and get a slushy flight, or you can come in and get a flight of white wines or fruit wines, go outside, try them and see what you like. Order a pizza while you're at it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what is the winemaking process? Kind of going a step back here. What is that like, and how involved are you in the day-to-day operations of that?
Well, I've been in here since 7 o'clock this morning filtering wine. So wine is not something you have to be on every day. Mm-hmm. So like, well, you can go back to harvest. So when you harvest, we like to move quick and get mm-hmm. our wines pressed as soon as possible. Some will leave on the skins for about 2 weeks, like your red wines can be left on the skins that long. Mm-hmm. And we keep those saturated. And so when it's time to remove them off the skins, we will press them, and then we will then move them, rack them inside into a tank and let it finish fermenting. And then we rack them. And then after racking is when you go from one container to another container. And the purpose of that is to clean your wine up. A lot of the organic matter, the must, will fall to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to bring that with you as you rack. You want to leave that behind. So mm-hmm. you're cleaning up your wine when you rack. And so when we go from that to another tank, we do that about 5, sometimes 6 times before we filter. Mm-hmm. So after we do our last racking, and all you're doing is just taking it from one tank to the other, cleaning it up. Nothing's added. Maybe oak. You might leave it sitting on oak a little bit longer. We do our reds like that. Mm-hmm. We have a fruit wine that we do like that as well. We leave it on some oak. So let's say we've now moved to the place where we want to filter. So the wine's clear. It's clean. Mm-hmm. It's just set there cleaning itself up. So what we've done now, we will filter the wine. And you filter so you can remove out any yeast. Mm-hmm. And it just cleans it up. It's a good presentation for consumers, especially if you have a clear bottle, so they can see that it's not cloudy, it's not hazy, there's no particulates in the bottom. You really do want a clean wine. So once we filter, then we can just wait. We usually wait about 2 or 3 months to see what that wine's going to, I hate to use the word age into, but a wine, as you move it and rack it, it introduces a lot of like oxygen into it. So it kind of splits that wine open a little bit, and you want it to come back together. Mm-hmm. So we'll wait about 2 or 3 months, and then we'll try the wine again. And then if we think it's ready for bottling, we'll bottle. If not, then we just wait and kind of think about, what are we going to do with this? does it need a little bit more time? On the fruit wines, does it need to be a little bit sweeter, or is it too sweet? Yeah. For most people, I don't know that it can be too sweet, but that's okay too. So it's a little bit more time consuming than what I'm saying, moving through the steps pretty fast here. But like filtering, I have filtered probably 5,000 liters today. That's not a lot of wine, but it is when you start putting them in the bottles. And I've been here all day. Yeah. So you start looking at that month to month to month. It's a lot of time that you're investing in that. So it is a full-time job here at this winery with what we produce to probably have 2-3 people on it full-time.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite the process. Now, when you say oak, are we talking about oak, like wood that you will lay these out on? Oh, okay.
Well, so you can do oak barrels, which I would assume most wineries do. I don't know anymore. I am so, we've kind of like, this place has consumed us, so we don't get out much anymore and see what everybody else is doing. But like, you can do oak barrels, which are awesome. Okay. I just don't have the humidity control here to do oak barrels. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day soon I will, if I ever get to build a new winery. But you can do oak staves. Staves are actually the parts of an oak barrel. Mm-hmm. All you would do is drop them into a tank. You can do oak chips, actual like pellets. You can do, we don't do pellets. You can do chips, or you can do ground up oak. I've worked with all of it. And for my pump, I like the powder form of it, if you will. But I work with all of it. You can put the chips into like a little bag that can let the oak flavor and get into the wine. It's just what you choose. And a lot of times, you know, it's what you have available or what you can get your hands on at the moment. But I like to play around with it. We we have recipes, but recipes were meant to be broken. So we play around with them. Like our, for instance, our blackberry wine, when we first started making it, we didn't use oak. Now we use oak. Mm-hmm. Why? The addition of oak. Oak just gives it another layer. You may not be able to taste it, but it'll give it some body. So yeah. We really haven't been doing this long, but we do work with a lot of different kind of fruits here. So we've kind of developed our own pattern and our own how we treat certain wines. So yeah. But there's no wrong way. There's no right way to work a recipe.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of get creative as you go.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's an art. Now, yeah. Especially you can do that with like fruit wines and muscadines. Mm-hmm. But like our vinifera, we don't really mess with them. Those are pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. We grow the grape, we harvest the grape, we ferment it, and we let it sit until we think it's ready to bottle. Vinifer grapes, which are your true wine grapes, like we were talking about your Merlots, your Chardonnays, those kind of do their own thing. They know what they're doing. So we just got to sit back and be patient. But yeah. The fruit wines and the muscadine wines, we can play with them all day long and create our own unique special blends.
Yeah, that's so neat. So what is the typical, I guess, from grape to bottle on the shelf, you know, like an average time span, how long does that take?
Okay, so we'll start from harvest. Mm-hmm. So from harvest, we can have the whites out in about 7 months, and the reds a little over a year. We like to hold those about a year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, fruit wines, we can tend to have those out in about 6 to 7 months. Muscadine, probably the same way. I've had to push the muscadine and fruit wines before. Mm-hmm. I can't really push the dry wines. Again, they do their own thing. So
yeah, their own boss, huh?
Yeah, they're their own boss. Isn't that nice? is there such a job?
Well, that's so neat, though. You tend to think, you know, in our fast-paced society and fast food and fast this and fast that, it's like bing, bam, boom, that it's out there. But that's so neat, though, that it takes, 7 months or even a year or whatever to get this delicious wine that we drink.
Yes, wine is yummy. Yeah. It is yummy. And it's really taken on here in the South. Like, I know in just our surrounding area, I know for sure in the state of Alabama, in particular North Alabama, from the time we first opened till now, how many people now are just coming and trying it? And
yeah,
oh my God, the fun and the time, the great times that they're having over wine that they wouldn't have chosen maybe another drink to do that over. So it's been sweet to watch people kind of chill out, relax, and gather around the table a little bit more often.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really neat, though, that they embrace the localness of it, you know, that they're supporting you and your husband's business. You know, it's, you know, family owned and operated, and they come out and support that.
Oh, yeah. Like Jules and myself are the owners, and then I have two sons involved. I have a daughter-in-law involved. I get my grandchildren in here and make them come in. I make them. I said, y'all are coming to work tonight because I'm down staff. So, but they come in, you know, they're 15 and 14, and then I have a 10-year-old. He doesn't have to help as much.
Yeah.
But they come in, they run pizzas for us. They do whatever they can to help us out. That's when needed. Cool. Yeah.
Whole family is involved.
Yeah, it is. The whole family, the community. I mean,
yeah,
it's been fun. I have a great staff that helps us do what we do. I never would have said when we first started, and I said we got our permits in 07, but we opened in 08, mm-hmm. and we didn't bring our pizza and our wine slushies on until it will be 6 years in September.
Okay.
I would have never thought that we would be employing as many people as we do now just to get all this, keep it all going.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this pizza, because I got to say, and I hope I don't offend anybody else's pizza that I've ever eaten, but this is the best pizza I've ever had in my life. It is so amazing.
Yay. Thank you.
So what made you do the pizza?
Well, we have a wine trail. We have the North Alabama Wine Trail. There's six mm-hmm. wineries involved in that. Yeah. And I was either on the front end of that trail or the back end. And on the back end, if people are doing it all in one day, I just didn't have the conscience to pour them wine and send them on their way, right?
Yeah.
After they've gone through five other wineries. So, but it was time that we added another layer mm-hmm. to the winery. You have to develop. You can't sit idle if you're going to succeed.
Yeah.
But my youngest son, my oldest son was already involved, but my youngest son was wanting to come on board. So I told him, well, the winery really can't sustain another income, but if you will help me start a pizza, and all we're going to do is wood-fired pizza, mm-hmm. then we can move forward with it. And I got online, I searched around for a wood-fired pizza oven, I ordered it, and was talking to Jules about it, and he said, well, I don't know that we need to do that. And I said, well, you better get to building, because I've already ordered the oven, it's on its way, and that's where we're going to put it out here. So you, he saw red. So, but that's how you have to do things, I think. You have to push each other and just trust each other. Everybody that's on your team to know that, hey, this is the direction we need to go. And mm-hmm. we just went for it. We have five homemade sauces. Wow. I developed all the sauces but one. My youngest son developed our white sauce. Mm-hmm. So we've just done the wood. It had to be wood fired. You know, we had some friends in Huntsville that had a wood fired oven and they would come here and set up, but we could never sync when they were going to be here to let the people know. Mm-hmm. So we just thought, you know what, that would work if we had an oven here all the time. And we just started playing around with our recipes and just really, honestly, we went for it.
Yeah.
We had some friends come over, several friends come over and was like, well, you're not quite ready yet. And I said, y'all, I'm going to be ready because I'm opening next week. No, Becky, you can't open next week. It's not ready. I said, it's going to be ready. So it's now or never. And I think as a small business owner and other things in our life, we have to just, you have to go for it. You have to move forward. You have to dream. You have to push yourself. Yeah. And we did. And it's turned into like a crazy house here sometimes in the evenings. All day Saturday's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Mm-hmm. But we also brought our slushies on board about the same time we brought in the wood-fired pizza oven. So if we don't have wood, we don't have pizza.
Yeah.
We do our own dough. We can toss it in there if you want. I mean,
it's so fun to watch that. It's so cool.
Yeah. So we can do that. And we just pass it down the line and spin it in the oven, bring it out. We have pizza runners that get it out to the tables. The pizzas aren't sitting back there. You get your pizza. That oven is about 800 degrees. You get your pizza. You better pause before you take that first bite because it's hot.
Yeah.
So, and we've had fun with it. It has brought mm-hmm. so much fun. It's really changed our winery as well, too. So, but we had to diversify, you know, and that was one way we did it. And pizza just goes, everybody loves pizza. Yes. It's the number one food in the world. And we knew if we were going to do it, if we were going to mimic the Italians, if you will, mm-hmm. then this is the way we were going to do it. We were going to do it as right as we knew how to do it.
Yeah. So what does Jules say now about your boldness in
well, I will tell you, so, you know, when we went in to talk to our accountant the year about that, Jules was just shaking his head and he was like, I can't believe she did this. But, you know, I was like, God, you're a man of little faith here. And I said, just trust me. And, so now as we talk about it, he just laughs and he totally has to give up credit to me for all that. So, But I'll tell you, my oldest son and my team, they really, really, really do a fantastic job helping me out in the oven. I know when we started, I was the one in there doing the doughs. I've not had to do doughs in a year, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But I can. I can do them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I can spin those pizzas in the oven. I can throw that dough up. I think we have about 4 people on staff that can do all of it. So if something happened, we could cover those positions.
Yeah, I brought my mom over there, I guess it was maybe a year ago, and we came over and tried some wines and some pizza, and it was packed that night. I believe it was a Friday or a Saturday.
Yes.
And it was so busy, and it was just like, oh, this is so awesome.
Yeah, it has been. It's been super awesome. I'll tell you what, I never would have thought it would have turned into something like this, but it did, and I'm happy that it did. And I've got more things to come. I've just got to find some room up here. I think, honestly, I mean, you know, we're maxed out on electrical here. So before I order anything else, I do have to check with Jules. You know, I want an ice machine, but he's like, no, you can't have an ice machine because we can't do it. So we have fun.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what the future holds, because we already know that you're bold and you're a risk taker, and you've been right so far. So,
well, I mean, you know, right and just trying to give people what they need and what they want has been, it's been a pleasure. I mean, we don't get time to chill out and relax. You know, we're always here, but it's something special to be able to give it back to people so they can come up and chill out, hang out for a couple hours or more. And, you know, it's like when you go out to, I'm not putting down restaurants. I love restaurants. I've been in the industry my whole life. You go, you feel like, you know, an hour, you feel like you got to get up and go, right? You got to give that table up. And you don't, we have a lot of extra tables here. So you don't necessarily have to do that. We want you coming with your friends, your family, hanging out, staying hours, you know, finding some peace. And I think we all need that. So I think that's what we've turned into here. We're not just a winery. We're not just a little pizza shop. It's not necessarily a place just to come and get your wine slushies. It's the combination of all that and just coming up and spending time with each other has been, I think that's been, again, our greatest pleasure is watching people enjoy themselves and hanging out and coming back.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. It is a very just magical place at night because you've got all the little twinkling lights.
Yeah.
So it's a cool place to hang out.
Yeah. If I could get that vineyard lit up at night, that would be better, right?
Ooh, that would be pretty. That would be so pretty.
Yeah. We're working on some stuff. We're working on it.
Yeah.
And the new winery, you know, we have a new winery in the works right now. Everything's still looking good. It's still moving forward. It's been a slow process for reasons everybody, I'm sure, are aware of with the industry right now with that, especially for small business owners. And we do have a big, beautiful building, manufacturing facility that we're building. It's going to be set on the prettiest part of the winery. And, you know, maybe we can make a big announcement here really soon that maybe we'll have some groundbreaking happening.
Yay.
But we're pretty cute where we are right now.
Absolutely.
Parking's not always great, but hey, if you can find your way up here, we'll find you somewhere to sit.
You'll find a spot for us, right?
Right. Yes, I will. Hey, I have chairs everywhere, so I'll go get you a chair.
I love it. Well, before we go, we always ask our Facebook followers what questions they want asked, and I always pick a question. And this week's winning question is, what happens to the spent grape skins and seeds after they're pressed?
Oh, I need to take a picture of what happens to them. So after we press them, we actually scatter them in parts of the vineyard that have eroded. Just rain, maybe If we've had heavy rains, kind of formed a little ditch down through the vineyard mm-hmm. there. And what we do, we just kind of scatter them into the vineyard. And then the next spring, wherever we scattered those, mm-hmm. is as lush and bright green as oh, wow. it's just beautiful. Yes, I need to take a picture of that yeah. so I can post that. Oh, yeah. We've had people come up, call. We've had farmers call and wanted the skins for their cows and all. But since mm-hmm. we do use it for compost yeah. And for those erosion problems, we kind of hang on to them.
Yeah. That's really cool, though, that you're giving back question. To the earth that's yes. given us the grapes. And that's really neat. I love
oh, girl.
It. Well, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
Okay, so you can go, for the most part, I'm just on Facebook. I do okay. make occasional posts here and there elsewhere, but Facebook, I've been real successful on it. So you can go to Jules J. Bird. On my page is Jules J. Berta Vineyards. Okay. It may have and pizza after it, and that's fine. Just Google that and find it. Don't go to Jules J. Berta. Don't go to his. No, ma'am. Don't do that one. You don't want that one. He's no longer on it, so he won't respond. But just find gotcha. My Jules J. Berta winery and pizza page. And, okay. Yeah, go there.
Yes, and make sure you give it a follow. That way you can see all the things going on and
oh yeah,
pizza pictures.
Yes, I usually make 2 to 3 posts a week, yeah. sometimes a little bit more than that. So okay. you can go there and you'll find out, see some pizza pics. You'll find out our slushy flavors for the week, et cetera. Yeah. Any okay. new wines out. You know, we have a Rosebow wine that we've done for our local band is going to the Rose Parade in January 2024. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted the Rose Parade their marketing department, and they sent me their trademarked logos that I can use, and we wow. put one of those on a wine bottle so we can have funds going to help raise to get the band out there, because it's like a $2 million expense, and so we're selling that wine, and we're going to make a donation to that. So, I mean, yeah. things like that we're trying to get involved with. So
that's so neat. That's cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. I loved hearing all about it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.